I titled my sermon Good and Beautiful Things. I thought it was neat last weekend when I was watching the streaming, and the song that you ended with was Look for the Beautiful. And you know, we sing that song quite a bit from time to time, but it went along right with the sermon that I had already thought of and I had already prepared, so I thought that was neat. And that song that we sing, I haven't really thought about it as much as I should. You know, we sing it all the time, but I haven't really thought, well, what does this mean? I mean, I kind of, you know, I have an idea, look for the good things, the beautiful things, but I wanted to kind of dig into it some more. And there are verses in Scripture that talk about good things, that talk about beautiful things, and it's not about physical beauty. It's about, like, you know, inner beauty, and we talked about that today during Sunday school. You know, it's what comes out of a man, you know, is what, you know, justifies the man and what conveys what the man's all about, right? It's not what he puts in. You know, we got to be careful what we put in, because it can result in bad things going out. You know, things we're watching, things we're looking at. So I wanted to talk about this topic. What are the good and beautiful things? I have an idea of what I think they are. I based some of that on the scripture, and maybe you have different ideas. And good things aren't necessarily the pleasures in life. That's really not what I'm going to talk about today. I'm just talking about things that are, you know, genuinely good in God's eyes, things that are healthy, that are good to do, you know, based on the commandments that we have in Scripture. You know, what does God perceive as something being good? What does God perceive as something being beautiful? So I want to try to define that. So I'm going to talk about good things at the start of the sermon today. And then a majority of the rest of my sermon's about beautiful things.
Can I interject?
Mm-hmm.
It was the blessing she gave me before she died. It was my mother-in-law. And I had 2 weeks off, and we watched Spring Spring. The actual everyday looks different. And we had beautiful days.
Mm-hmm.
I know my eyes look through flowers with coming in. And she taught me so much just by learning how to let spring.
Just to appreciate those things. Appreciate the things in the spring. Even in the...
It's fancy.
Right. Even the things in the fall, when the leaves turn colors, I don't always spend a lot of time looking at the leaves, and it seems like it goes by so quickly every year, and I end up missing
going down
that.
The road or something. Mm-hmm. I see a rock that's a nice tree. I just think he puts stuff here for our pleasure.
Right. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Yep.
Sorry,
no, it's all right. That's great. Thank you for that. Good things. So let's turn to Matthew 12, 33-35. Matthew 12, 33-35. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So the things that, you know, proceed from us, that the world sees, you know, it really conveys what type of person we are. You know, the things we do, how we act, how we behave. I can embarrass myself if I do something and I realize that it wasn't right and somebody else saw it. You know, I embarrass myself from time to time. And God can dig even deeper, right? He can really know if what you're thinking, what you're doing on the inside is good or bad, the thoughts that go through your head. So, you know, there's certain people that you're around that just have something about them, like an aura around them that, you know, proceeds from them, that conveys goodness and beauty, and you just know it when you're around these people. And, you know, it can bring comfort to other people. God can use you as a tool when you're right where you need to be, when these good things are proceeding from you. You know, it says that they will know, you will know they're Christians by their love, right? I think it says in Scripture. So just be careful, those things that come out of your mouth and what you say. And down here, verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We talked about that today during Sunday school. So the way you behave, the things that proceed out of you, it really says a lot about the kind of person you are. Luke 1, 46 to 53. So I guess, you know, think about yourself. What types of things, you know, proceed out of you? You know, and maybe it's just good thoughts. Maybe you have good thoughts inside, and that's you know, God is pleased with that. It doesn't necessarily have to be an outward sign. You know, it's really what's inside the inner man, but there are things that will result from what's in the inner man. Luke 1:46-53. This is about Mary. So, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. So it talks about good things here at the bottom of this verse. It's not... you know, it's not necessarily physical things, but it's the spiritual things. And Mary was a humble servant of the Lord, and she recognized these things that she was receiving from the Lord. You know, good, the things that are good by definition are defined by God. God determined what was right, what was wrong. And we need to emulate God's goodness. And Mary recognized that in the Scripture. And in Romans 10, 11 through 15, Romans 10, 13 and 15, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So this passage here, verse 15, it mentions both beautiful things and it mentions good things. In the same passage. And it says, how beautiful are your feet. You know, you're spiritually, if you're doing this in your life, you're walking around from time to time, talking to different people about the gospel, and the Lord is using you. You know, what a blessing to be able to be used by the Lord and deliver good things, to deliver beautiful things. So we need to ask ourselves the question, you know, again, are good things proceeding from me? Are beautiful things proceeding from me? Am I letting God use me as a tool? And that's something to think about this entire sermon as we go through this and we have some examples of what some good things are. Ask yourselves these questions. So I have a list, my own list I came up with, of some good things. Your list may be different. The things that were more tangible, things that you could see, you know, the things that really affected others, were maybe more physical in nature. I labeled those as good things. The things that were maybe, you know, more spiritual indirectly, you know, what's inside, I categorize that those as the beautiful things. So what I've got here, the first one I've got, being in church. You know, we're in church today, and I think it's a good thing that we're in church. You know, what can be wrong with being in church? That's what the Lord wants us. That's a good thing. Spending time with our family and our church family. Again, coming here today, spending time with our family. I've got a lot of things going on in my life right now, and I know you do too, but we need to make sure we spend time with our families and our church family. And, you know, I don't want life to go by and for my daughters to grow up and for me to think, you know, I really blew the time I had with them. I didn't take advantage of it at all. Now I can't get that time back. You know, I think about that a lot. Offering a sincere handshake. I think that's a good thing. And I'd actually been thinking about this, about, you know, when men or women, when they give each other's handshake, you know, when I do that, I'm saying, yes, you know, I agree with you on something, or, you know, thank you, or I appreciate you. You know, there's so many different messages that can be conveyed through a handshake. And a week ago, I think it was, or a week and a half ago, I had to go out to Rochester, New York for work. I was out there for a couple days. And I came home, it was on a Wednesday, a week and a half ago, and there was a big snowstorm in Fort Wayne. And so we came in and we had to fly around the airport like two or three times because they had to clear off the runway. They hadn't cleared it out good enough before we got there. So the flight ended up being delayed, but we came in, we landed okay. I walked out to my car, it was snowing. I had cleaned my car off. There was like 3 or 4 inches of snow in my car, so I was cleaning it off. I put my bags inside the car. I started the heater up. I went back out to my car or outside, and I was doing some more cleaning. I got the car all cleaned up, and then I went to open my door, and it was locked. So I'm out here in the airport parking lot, and my car door's locked. I had locked my keys in my car. I've only done that a couple times, but I was embarrassed. So I'm like, you know, I prayed about it. You know, Lord, can you just open up my car? I don't know, maybe I didn't have enough faith. So I had to go back in the airport, and I had to talk to a security guard, and he directed me to the sheriff. I found the sheriff. He said, okay. I said, can you help me break into my car, get these keys out? And he said, yeah, and he was really nice about it, So he went out there and met me out there, and we had a little wedge that we stuck in the door, and we kind of pried the door open a little bit, and then I had like a little metal hanger that I put in there, and just within like a minute or two, we got it open. But then when we were done, and he was kind of putting some things away, and you know, I said, thank you. And I shook his hand, and you know, I just shook it for a while. You know, thank you for helping me do this. And it just felt really good just to thank him for helping me out. You know, a handshake really says a lot at times. I mean, it should always say a lot. And that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. Giving a gift, you know, that can always be a good thing. Christmas giving, we just had Christmas a couple months ago. And I don't always do the best job at getting gifts for people. Kelly does a lot of that. But this year I tried to be a little bit more genuine about it, to everybody I bought a gift for, I thought, you know, what would they really appreciate? What would be really nice to give them? And I gave Kelly a necklace that has a mother bird and three little birds for the girls. I gave my sister a necklace that I think she appreciated. And my mom, when we were kids, we used to have the very original Nintendo, and we used to play it. You know, it was fun. And my mom used to play it, too. You know, this was like 30 years ago, I suppose, 25 years ago. And she used to play it, and I knew they were selling these little new Nintendo emulators. They don't have any cartridges or anything, but they sell them, and you can't find any of them at Christmas time. I can't remember what it was called, the Nintendo I don't remember what it was called. But you couldn't find any of them at Christmas time. And I came across this website where it told you how many of these Nintendos there were in stock at different stores in my area. And then they told me the next day they were going to have one up in South Bend, and they were going to have, I think it was 7 or 8, in Fishers, Indiana, which is just a suburb of Indianapolis on the north side. So I thought about it. I thought, you know, it'd be really neat to get my mom one of these things. And so I told Kelly, we were laying there in bed at like 10 or 11 at night. I think it was 10. I told her, I'm going to drive down, you know, to Fishers. I'm going to wait in line for one of these things. So I drove down there and I got in line, and I got there about midnight, and as soon as I got there, people just started coming. I was like the third or fourth in line, so I ended up getting one. But I stayed out there, and it was cold, and my feet were numb. I think it was about 7 a.m. when they let us in the door. I've never done something like that before. I don't want to really do it in the future, but but my mom really appreciated it when I gave it to her, and I had a gift to give to my brother-in-law, and he's really into, when he was a kid, he had all these Transformers, and there was one that he really liked, and when he was a kid, somebody stole it from him. He didn't have this Transformer. And when I found out about this, and he told his wife, my sister-in-law, he said, you know, can you get me one of these Transformers off eBay or something for Christmas? And it just so happened I have a box of Transformers up in my attic, and I knew I had that one. And so I gave it to my sister-in-law, and she gave it to him. That was a couple years ago. But I had him, my brother-in-law, for the gift exchange this year, and I thought, I'm gonna find him a mug that has this little Transformer guy on it. And I found one and I gave it to him, and he really appreciated it. And it was nice. It was nice finding things like that for people. You know, it says you find more joy in giving than receiving, and you really can. You really can. And I think that's a good thing. Finding truth within your scriptures, that's always a good thing, of course. We always need to be reading our scriptures. You know, I've said this before, if I'm preparing a sermon or a study, I'm in my scriptures, of course, but you know, I myself neglect just finding time to read my scriptures on my own and study things that I need to study. Talking about God, you know, with people, that's always a good thing. Find time to attend reunions, that's definitely a good thing if you can. You know, do it, and you'll really be blessed if you do it. And you'll be disappointed when you leave a reunion. You know, there's nothing like just sitting there at a reunion and all being there together, and spiritually all being attuned to what, you know, the speaker is saying. It's just a great blessing. Praying for others. We need to continue to make sure we do that. Helping those in need. And I'm not a good example of this. it was Christmas time, and there was a lady, a lady that was having a hard time carrying all the goods that she was purchasing. She didn't have a car. She was carrying the stuff around. She had a bunch of pop and cans that she was carrying around, a box of pop, and she was having a time carrying it up to the self-checkout. And so I asked her if I could help her out, and she let me help her out, and I checked out, then I helped her walk out to the car, and I put it in her car for her. And so I used to be a bag boy. It was my first job, to bag boy at a grocery store, so I knew what to do and everything. I didn't pack her groceries, but it felt really good to do that. And I don't do those things very often, and I know I need to do a better job at that. You know, so things like that are good things. So let's move on to beauty, beautiful things. I've got it broken in the categories, letter categories, I think A through F, just to kind of segregate it. This has really nothing to do with my sermon. This is just some trivia. The beautiful gate that it talks about in Scripture, I'm going to read this. This is why, as a commentary, I said, "At the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in regard to this gate, there have been two opinions, one of which supposes that it was the gate commonly called Nicanor, which led from the court of the Gentiles to the court of the women, and the other that it was the gate at the eastern entrance of the temple, commonly called Susan." So there's two different theories about this gate. It says, "It is not easy to determine which is intended, though from the fact that what is here recorded occurred near Solomon's porch, it seems probable that the latter was intended. The gate was large and splendid. It was made of Corinthian brass, a most valuable metal, and made a magnificent appearance." And that's what Josephus said. It's just some information about this beautiful gate. Okay, I was supposed to give you this verse first. I keep it in sync here. And this is what it says, Acts 3:2, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." So now I want to talk about external versus internal beauty. We watched the Super Bowl over at my sister and brother-in-law's house, and we told ourselves, we talked about it beforehand, that we weren't going to watch the halftime show, because, you know, there's always questionable things during a halftime show. So we decided we weren't going to watch that. But it was a Lady Gaga. And before the game started, they were they showed a picture of her with the cameras, and she was sitting down in the end zone, and all these people were taking pictures of her. She was posing, doing all these various things. And I guess to the eyes of the world, you know, she may have been a beautiful thing, right? Maybe to the eyes of the world, I don't know. Maybe that's what some people think of her. But I thought to myself, what kind of internal beauty does she have? You know, do I have internal beauty myself? Does she have it? Do you have it? You know, that's really what matters, right? It's really what matters. Let's read a passage here. Matthew 23:27-28. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so also outwardly appear righteous unto men, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And see, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." So I wrote a little bit more there. So I wanted to understand this a little bit more, what they're talking or what Christ is talking about here. So I've got another commentary. It says, like unto whitened sepulchers. And it says, for the construction of sepulchers, see the notes here, blah, blah, blah. These tombs were annually whitewashed to prevent the people from accidentally coming in contact with them as they went up to Jerusalem. This custom is still continued. Dr. Thompson says, I have been in places where this is repeated very often. The graves are kept clean and white as snow, a very striking emblem of those painted hypocrites, the Pharisees, beautiful without but full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness within. The law considered those persons unclean who had touched anything belonging to the dead. Numbers 19:16, sepulchers were therefore often whitewashed that they might be distinctly seen. Thus whited, they appeared beautiful, but within they contained the bones and corrupting bodies of the dead. So the Pharisees, their outward conduct appeared well, but their hearts were full of hypocrisy, envy, pride, lust, and malice, suitably represented by the corruption within a whitened tomb. That's a really good metaphor, I guess, when you would call it, for inner beauty versus outward beauty. We can look good on the outside, and maybe I look good to you in certain areas. Maybe you think highly of me because I act outwardly in some way. Maybe I fake it even, and you think a certain way of me, but inside I may not be that same person on the inside. So we all need to ask that question of ourselves. This verse has always been one of my favorites. There's a Christian radio station in town. I don't really listen to it a whole lot anymore, really, but there was one of their speakers or the commentators, or I guess it was a radio host in the morning, and he had a show. I think it was an hour-long show, and at the end of the show, he always read this verse, and it said, it's 1 Samuel 16:7, said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. The man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So I think that's pretty plain. It's pretty clear. The Lord's going to look at what's in the inside, what you're really made of. First Nephi 3:54-55, it says, and it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and an angel came down and stood before me, and he saith unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I saith unto him, a virgin, most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. So we talked about Mary a little bit earlier. When it says Mary was most beautiful and fair, you think this is all physical, or do you think that maybe there was something else on the inside that was beautiful about her and fair about her? And I think that's really what God saw in Mary. He fell a humble servant, and he realized what made her the person that she was. It was probably more beauty on the inside than on the outside. It's just something to think about. What type of beauty do you notice? Do you notice inward beauty, or do you notice outward beauty, or both, or just outward beauty? Something to think about. What beauty is most important, and what do you, what do you strive to obtain? Internal beauty or outward beauty? Which, the outward beauty, it passes, it fades away. I'm losing my hair. It's not going to last forever. We all grow and we get old. We change. But even though we're getting maybe less beautiful on the outside, we become more beautiful on the inside as we get older. In Proverbs 31:30, let's turn to that. Oh, I got it here. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So it's a good verse, I think, for the women, for the young ladies, that you know, inner beauty is more important. So we need to make sure we're not trying to look like somebody else. We're not trying to impress somebody with our looks. You know, remember that what's important to God is not important to the world. You know, it doesn't matter how you look on the outside. Ezekiel 28:11-17. Let's turn to that. And this is about Satan. It's going to talk about here. So, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, now a sin. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of the brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. You know, we can see what happens here when we have pride and we lift ourselves up because of what we look like or how people perceive us. You know, sometimes we try more to please others and make them think more highly of us than we do to try to please God. You know, we think that that we need to be rewarded by the people, you know, that are around us rather than God. You know, we need to please God more than please man. And that's what it says in the scripture. So, you know, you can see what happens here. And it's an interesting question, but, I mean, do you ever feel bad for Satan? You know, he doesn't want any good thing for us at all. But do you ever feel bad for him? I've never really thought of that before. And if only there was something we could do to help him. You know, he doesn't have an avenue of repentance like we do. It's too late for him. But it's an interesting question to think about. Isaiah 53:1-2. Let's turn to that. As who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And we talked about this somewhat today in class. But it says there's no comeliness or no beauty. So, you know, I take this to say that on the outside, he was just an average man. You know, he didn't look like a movie star and like super duper handsome. He was just average from a look standpoint. So there was nothing on the outside, but you know, Christ was without sin, and you know, of all the people that walked on this earth, Christ was the most beautiful out of all of them, and had the most inward beauty out of everyone that's ever lived. You know, even people that looked beautiful on the outside and were handsome on the outside. It was, you know, his persona, what he conveyed as people were around him, that aura that went out from him. He wasn't necessarily beautiful on the outside, but he was on the inside. And then Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, that's what we're shooting for. That's what we're longing for. That's, you know, our ultimate goal, to make it and to be able to dwell with the Lord for eternity. And that, you know, to be with him in his radiance that's going to, you know, proceed out of him. You know, we'd be blessed to live with him in the future for all eternity. What about this hymn? I have three hymns here. Beautiful Savior. There are quite a few hymns that talk about beauty. I really like, this is one of my favorite hymns. And this is what it says. So this beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man, truly I'd love thee, truly I'd serve thee, light of my soul, my joy, my crown. So, you know, kudos to the person that wrote this song, that they recognized the beauty of the Lord. Not that we want to lift them up in any way, but what a great hymn that they produced, because they recognized this. Fair are the meadows, fair are the woodlands, robed in flowers of blooming spring. Jesus is fair, Jesus is pure, he makes our sorrowing spirit sing. So, you know, our sister just talked about the flowers in the spring, but the Lord's even better than that. There's more beauty that proceeds from him. Fair as the sunshine, fair as the moonlight, bright the sparkling stars on high. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels in the sky. You know, more than the moon and the stars and everything that's up there and all their glory. You know, he's better than all of that. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. I've got a couple more verses about God and beauty. Ecclesiastes 3:10-11. And I've got it right here. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I thought about this verse. I could have probably dug into it a little bit more, just to ponder on this and what all this means, but it says here he's going to make everything beautiful in his time, and there's a song about that. I'm going to read the lyrics for shortly here, but you know, in God's time, not in your time, he can help you fix your problems, and he can do it better than any way you could have done it on your own. He can do it in a way that you don't know, you don't understand, and that you'll marvel in. You know, better than anything that you can come up with on your own. If you wait on the Lord, he can turn a bad situation into a good situation. But it's going to require patience. You know, there's things in my life that have required years of patience. So, You know, and that can be hard. And this is the song. It's called In His Time. It says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, and I'll do just what you say in your time. In your time, you make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring, may each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time. It's just two verses, but I think it's a really neat song. So I've got some examples of some beautiful things. Your list may be different than mine. Offering a compliment, I think that can be a very nice thing and a beautiful thing. It can really help to encourage someone. And the offering encouragement goes right along with that. You know, Adam's not here today, but I'm going to pick on him just for a second. It seems like Brother Adam always has something nice to say. He's always encouraging. Even when you don't need encouragement, he's encouraging. And I'm not good at that, but he is. I know Brother Adam doesn't want us to lift him up, but it's an example for us. Humbling ourselves before others, I think that's a beautiful thing. Being thankful. Praising God. Always being positive. Ask a stranger how they are doing. Kelly's good at that. Kelly's good at doing that, and I'm not. I'm not good at that. I like to keep to myself. Figure out how you can be a better person on the inside versus the outside. Thank those that have helped you out in life. There was a song from the 80s. It was a Ray Bolt song. Ray Bolt was this singer's name. I think it was from the 80s or the 70s. And in the song, he dreams of going to heaven. He dies, he goes to heaven. And then he runs into people that he had met in life, people that had helped him, a Sunday school teacher or pastor, whoever it is. And he said in his dream, after he died, he said, "Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you did." It's a really neat song. Let people know they are important to you. Realize that God can use you. If you don't let yourself be used, who will? We're always, we look at others around us, and sometimes they may be shining their light. But we just continue to go on through life and we don't make any changes. I mean, we are the ones that need to make the change. We are the ones that need to be the city on the hill. That should be your goal. Offer a pleasing song to the Lord. And it's not just singing a song and a hymn. It's really a song in your heart. You can sing all the hymns you want, but if you don't feel it in your heart, why sing it at all? It's really what's on the inside. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. It could be any day of the week. You could just say, "Thank you, Lord, for this, this, this," and it can be a song of sorts. Beautiful things when our family and children speak gospel truth to us. I've got another example. I'm almost done here. The girls had a science fair project, and all three of them did, and they had them yesterday, and they did really good, all three of them did. And it's really neat, I'll tell you about it, but there's a satellite that they launched in 1965, and the rocket launch didn't go according to plan, and it didn't end up in its correct orbit. But they still were able to communicate with the satellite for about 2 years, and then after that it stopped transmitting, and they didn't know why. And then 2013, there was an amateur ham operator, a radio operator, and he picked up a signal, and he didn't know what it was coming from, and he figured out, you know, he knew what the frequency was, and he got into the archives and the databases, and he figured out that the signal was coming from this satellite that was launched in 1965, and so they don't know how it came back on after all these years. Why is it working again? And so for Lydia's Science Fair project, we build an antenna. You know, Lydia learned how to build an antenna that was tuned to this frequency. 237 megahertz was the frequency of this satellite. And there's a little USB radio you can connect into your computer, and she hooked the antenna up to that. And there's some software you can install, and the software was launched, and you had to find all the right settings. But we went out right after we built the antenna. We went out and we tried to look for it and or listen for it, and we didn't pick it up. You can get online, and it tells you when the satellite first comes above the horizon, its maximum altitude, and where it goes down on the horizon at what time. So first time didn't work, but the second time we picked it up. We picked up the satellite, and the theory is that it's spinning because the sound, it comes and goes every about 4 seconds. It goes, it's like, and it's kind of creepy, actually, because this old satellite came back to life and is making this funny sound. But anyways, we got some video capture software that captures your screen, you know, that people use all the time for like posting videos on YouTube, and we launched the software, so it was looking at the waveform that showed the signal on the software, the satellite, and we started it, and then after about 30 minutes when we were ready to stop it, when the satellite went under the horizon, I went back to the software, it hit stop button, I hit the stop button, and it just locked up, and it didn't save. It didn't save any of the video, any of the sounds, and it was a key pass because it got real high in the horizon. It got this like 61 degrees. It was a real clear pass, and so I got frustrated about it. I was frustrated, and Lydia said, she said, "Dad, I'm not upset about it at all. We can come back out here and we could do it again." And it was on a Sunday. She said, "It's the Lord's Day." And, you know, you shouldn't get upset about something on the Lord's Day. And that's a really beautiful thing when our kids see things like that. So I'm just going to close with the lyrics for this hymn. Look for the beautiful. Verse 1, look for the beautiful, look for the true, look for the beautiful life's journey through. Seeking true loveliness, joy you will know. As to the home above, onward you go. And you can find more satisfaction in life if you look for the beautiful things. And you can find joy in those things. You know, true loveliness that it talks about in this song. Think of the beautiful, think of the pure. Only the beautiful long can endure. God to his lowly ones giveth more grace. None but the pure in heart look on his face. Speak of the beautiful, speak of the pure. These to eternity fadeless endure. Error shall vanish soon, evil decay. God and the beautiful pass not away. There will always be these beautiful things in life. You know, up to the day you die. And then, you know, God's beauty will continue into the eternity. We can be with him, and then, you know, who knows what all the things will be that we do with the Lord. I don't know, but there's going to be something. We're not just going to twiddle our thumbs. There's going to be, I think, great things that we can learn, and I don't know. Look to the stars of life, not down to earth. All that is beautiful there had its birth. Upward and forward go, looking above, there is a dwelling place of perfect love. And I've got the refrain here. Look for the beautiful, seek to find the true, God and the beautiful will dwell with you. look for the beautiful, seek to find the true. You shall be beautiful, beautiful within. You know, what a great summary, you know, of everything we just talked about in this hymn. This is really a neat hymn. And I'm going to think differently about it now whenever we sing it. And that's all I have for my sermon. So some things to think about. The Lord put it upon my heart, and I think, you know, it was a message from the Lord for us today, for me.